Father in heaven, we are so thankful to be here at Michigan Camp Meeting. We thank you for all the wonderful things that are happening here and the work, the outpouring of your Spirit in so many different ways. Father, we know that the coming of Jesus is at hand. There are people that are on our church books, Lord, who can yet be reclaimed for your kingdom. I pray that you would give us wisdom as we discuss how we may be able to accomplish this afternoon. And I ask and pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right, now I need a couple volunteers to pass out some stuff. Not to pass out, to pass out some stuff. I will say while they're passing that out, I mentioned this earlier this week, and as Pastor Cameron and I have been working throughout the Michigan Conference, and I know that it's not much different other places in the NAD at any rate, our attending membership, and when I say attending, I'm talking about your Apex of Sabbath membership. We've talked about this, like 1135. Is usually, at best, half of the book membership in many places, which means there are a whole lot of members who never come that are on the church books. Now, in Cedar Lake, when I was pastoring there, we had 485, give or take, the number fluctuates, of church members. We had about 120 regularly on Sabbath. Now, we'll pack the place out with 500-plus people on an academy weekend, but I'm talking about how many of the people on our books are there in church. So you can do the math and figure how many that leaves that are not coming. And I'm going to tell you this up front, at least in that scenario, and in fact in many of our churches, I think we've touched on this a little bit, we get skittish about dealing with our church books. We have adopted a Catholic mentality, like for some reason if the name's on the books, they're going to be saved. And if we take them off, they're going to be lost. That's not how it works, folks. And the Lord's not looking at the books when he comes in. Oh, you know what? You haven't been praying or talking to me. We have no relationship, but I do see your names here on the such and such Seventh-day Adventist Church. Come on in. It's not working that way. And we're doing a disservice when we're just leaving somebody's names on the books for several different reasons. I'm not going into that right now. But because of that, your church books, it's not unlikely that you may have somebody who hasn't attended your church in 30 years and they're still on the books or dead. I had, when I came into Cedar Lake, we had at least 5 deceased people that were on the church books, and they had been deceased for some time. And just a note for our stewardship department, there are Seventh-day Adventists who give money to the cause of God, and when they die, that money goes to whatever work they pledged it to, but if your church doesn't deal with that and doesn't report it to the conference, they don't know about it, and they could have had hundreds of thousands of dollars that could have gone into the work of preaching the gospel and spreading the gospel. It doesn't go anywhere because your church didn't report it. So just keep all that good stuff in mind. Important to keep up on the church books. I mean, Cameron, we didn't even do anything on that. We probably should have done a whole... we'll have to do that next time. So, there are a lot so I'm going to tell you, there are some people that haven't attended in 30 years. You're not going to get everybody back who's a missing member, but you can get some back. And that's what we want to talk about here this afternoon. Notice the first part of the top of the page, a vital work. Of all the people we are indebted to and have a responsibility for it as Seventh-day Adventist members who are no longer attending church services, Paul counseled the church in Galatia in Galatians 6 verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially who? To those who are of the household of faith. What does that mean? Who's that talking about? That's talking about fellow church members. You know sometimes who the people are that we're the meanest to? Fellow church members. So we have a responsibility to those members that are on our books that for some whatever reason the devil has been able to draw them out of the church. Notice this encouraging statement, though, from Evangelism 693. It says, when the storm of persecution really breaks upon us, the true sheep will hear the true shepherd's voice. Self-denying efforts will be put forth to save the lost, and many who have strayed from the fold will come back to follow the great shepherd. Let me pause there and let's be very clear on something. She just said that efforts will be put forth to save who? And then who's she talking about? Missing members. Just because their name's on the books doesn't mean they're not the lost. And I think if we would really let that sink in, it would motivate us more in our labor for those missing members. But those who have strayed from the fold, it says, many of them will come back to follow the great shepherd. The people of God will draw together and present to the enemy a united front. Isn't that an awesome promise? So let's go into number two there. Let's talk about why members leave. And what you'll find interesting here is that these are the top reasons, and I don't know, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I can tell you this, that the top few reasons, in these top reasons that people leave, doctrine is not one of them. That's not saying people don't leave the Adventist Church over doctrinal issues. Doesn't mean that but you would think sometimes, oh, they must have left because somebody got a hold of them and told them Ellen White's a false prophet, or they don't believe in the Sabbath anymore, or they don't believe. And I think I've told you here, I know I've mentioned it this week, Adventists can be very funny. You just don't forget the Sabbath. And we told you, I don't know if it was here or there, where Cameron and I were up doing a training weekend at Camp Wasabla, and we had a young guy there who found a great controversy in prison and read it and was converted. And when he read it, he'd already been acquainted with the Sabbath. He learned about the Sabbath from the lady who sold him pot, because she wouldn't sell it to him on the Sabbath, because that would be Sabbath breaking. I mean, so there are, you know, Adventists, you don't lose the Sabbath very easily once you've been convicted of it. The reason that most people leave the church is not because they had a doctrinal issue, which means that when you're trying to follow up on them and win them back, you don't have to worry about all the clever doctrinal arguments that you have to share with them. They already know that. And usually that's not an issue, or at least the issue. Top reasons. First reason is divorce. You can only imagine, or maybe, you know, you've been in that situation. You're going to the same church, and then your husband and wife, the husband and wife gets divorced. Who's going to keep going to the church? It'd be awkward for both of you to go. And I know families that have done that, but it's just, you know, okay, well, you'll go to this church, and then the whole trauma of the situation, do you want to even start going back to church right away? You might just pull back from things. And if you've decided that, for example, if your wife and you divorce, and you're the husband, you say, well, you go ahead and go to this church, and the kids, and we want that, they're used to that. Well, now you've got to find a new church, and you don't know the people there, and all of that can hinder your desire to even continue. You know, the whole scenario. So that's a main reason why people may stop coming. Of course, if it's not a biblical divorce, that's another issue. If there was adultery involved or something, you know, there have been people who have, technically, they should be removed from membership, but that doesn't always happen. But there's all kinds of dynamics in this situation that may leave a person on the church books, and they stop coming, and then years and years can go by. Another reason, conflict with the pastor or church members. This is a very, in my ministry, this is one of the most common reasons. Somebody had a falling out with somebody. And I hate to say it, but it's true that half the time they leave the church, the other half the time they start another church. I've known a lot of Adventist churches. I'd love to say they started the church because it was a church plant and they were wanting to win souls. No, I don't get along with them. And I don't either. Let's go start a church. And you can't really expect a lot of positive growth out of starting because you had some axe to grind. But a lot of times people will leave a church because of a conflict. And I want to make this clear. Sometimes that conflict is legitimate. Somebody treated them wrong. It could have been the pastor, it could have been the elder, it could have been somebody else that treated them wrong. But other times, it may be that they're in the wrong. And other times, maybe both are a little bit in the wrong. And because you don't know that, that's going to be something we're going to talk about as we go on here. When you go and follow up with that, it could turn into a very sticky situation. Just be aware that that is one of the main reasons that people stop coming to church. And when I say leave, they're not leaving the church because they're still in the church books. So when I say leave, they've just stopped attending. Okay? The next reason, failure to live up to Bible standards. Person falls back into an old habit. Now, you know, they're afraid either somebody's going to find out about it or somebody did find out about it. And then they feel like they're being judged. And, you know, this is something I hear a lot today too. And I want to throw the caveat out. I've had people say, I just don't go to church because I just feel so judged. And I don't know if you've heard that before. And we tend to, I wish I had time to go, we ought to do a seminar on what Ellen White calls false sympathy and false sympathizers. You know, I heard this person was treated such and such, so it must be so. Well, maybe and maybe not. I want you to understand something. I think we've all probably felt judged at some point. And I think some of those times we were judged. But be clear, the Bible teaches that the wicked man flees when no man pursues. The wicked man flees when no man pursues. Why are you fleeing? Why are you running? Nobody's chasing you because you feel chased. Well, you know why? Because the Spirit of God is chasing you. And so sometimes we feel judged because we're doing something wrong and the Spirit of God is bringing conviction. And sometimes, so you can imagine when a person may leave the church and they may feel that the church is judgmental, and maybe the church is, or maybe somebody is, or maybe nobody is, but that when you're in that pathway, when you're going and doing what you know and your conscience tells you you shouldn't be doing, you don't want to be around those spiritual people because you're just going to feel all the more like, I'm not supposed to be doing this. And of course, you add to that, if you have fallen into a habit that you just, it seems to have the better of you, and now you're discouraged, you can't feel like you can kick it, and you're just like, I must not be, and I hear this from people, I must not be cut out to be a Christian. I must not be, I can't tell you how many people, members I've visited with, and like, Pastor, why is it so easy for everybody else in the church? I assure them, it's not. It's not, you're not alone. And sometimes, in these visits, maybe you're the one that needs to be able to share that with somebody. You know, they don't usually make the announcement, they just stop coming to church. And the tragedy is this, for so many people, they stop coming and we never know. As a pastor, I can't tell, I don't know there's a district where this hasn't happened. I don't know, Jim, if you'd share the same thing, but where I've gone into the church, we start to review the membership list. I've got members saying, Pastor, you need to visit this person or this person. Sometimes that happens with individuals. You'll get where I'm going in a minute. You get this big, long list of people, and you begin asking your leaders, your elders of the church, where's this person? Do you know where No, I don't even know who that one is. And a lot of them are like, oh, I know that one. You ought to go visit them, Pastor. They haven't been here in I don't know how long. And I'm thinking, don't you, not just thinking, sometimes I just tell them, you understand that I have no clue who this person is. I've never met this person. You used to worship with them every week and you've never thought to go and visit. Now, sometimes, there are some situations where, for example, if a person stopped coming to church because of a conflict and you were involved in it, I wouldn't recommend you be the one to visit. And we'll talk about that as we go. But sometimes it's just, hey, they were coming and they stopped coming. And when did they stop coming? I don't know. Oh, I remember that person. They were so, like, how does it happen that a person stops coming and they're gone for a month, 2 months, 6 months, and nobody ever thinks to go and say hi and, hey, we've missed you? And sometimes what people will do is they'll just kind of camp it out, wait it out, and wait for somebody to visit. And I've had, and you'll have this, if you go and visit, we're going to talk about very specific ways how you can do this, you go and visit those individuals, they'll say, well, it's about time somebody from the church came to see me. I've been waiting for 10 years. I mean, that's the kind of thing happens. So sometimes it's the failing to live up to Bible standards and they get off into habits or whatever. They either feel judged or they themselves, they just feel like they're not good enough to be a church member. And so that's another main reason that people stop coming. They kind of give up on things and they need encouragement. Lack of assimilation or discipleship. Pastor Jim talked about this. I don't know if it was yesterday, I think. And I wish, at the risk of being misunderstood, he already did it, so I can do it again. We talk a lot about loving people into the church, and it's important to be loving to people, but I know people who are in the Adventist church because of fellowship, not because of truth. They have good friends, they treated them nice and all that, but when it comes to Adventist beliefs, they wouldn't even know where to begin to stand. And so what happens is if they move to a new location that isn't the same friends in that church, they're not sticking around. That happens a lot too. Versus if you are in the Adventist church because of the truth, then you will endure a number of interesting experiences, and you'll endure them because this still is God's church, right? Amen. Oh, more could be said about that, but yeah, I saw it. Did I see Rick? Oh, where?
Me.
Yes.
I put my hand up. There are a lot of people that come in and they struggle with drinking and smoking.
Yes.
And whatnot. You were back on that. And we don't seem to have a lot of help for them. And so then they feel like, well, I can't come because Adventism, you have victory over sin. And if you have victory over sin and I'm still struggling with sin, then I'm not fit to be here. What programs or what can we...
Well, that's a good question.
Fails in a couple of areas.
I can say in Michigan a couple of the things that I'm aware of in our health and temperance department. They've developed some helpful tools. Our Living Free seminar addresses addictions. Vicki Griffin, our health and temperance director, and associate Evelyn Kissinger have developed a new stop smoking program, which I'm really excited about because how many of you have ever seen an Adventist, like, 5-day plan, or was the 5-day, and then it was the, what do we call it? Grief-free plan, but they were like the materials, you know, people in leisure suits, I mean, from the 70s. It's like it just had fallen. So I think in some ways it fell out of vogue because we adopted this mindset that, like, well, we don't want to be so. In fact, I hate to say it, but I know Adventist ministers who baptize people smoking. It shouldn't happen, but they do. It's like, so because what are you going to do to help them? Well, we don't want to bring that up, and it's okay. When we could have been, we used to help them get past those things. Now it's just like, well, we'll just kind of pretend we don't see it or smell it or whatever else. And so I think, at least like I said, this program, I'll see what I can do about the link to it. We do have it in our resources page on our site. We have a link to Lifestyle Matters is their site. That stop smoking thing is free for you to use, and it's updated. It looks nice. So, and I know that in Lansing, they just did a training on how to do that program, and we would like to see more of those happen here in Michigan. And I don't know what's available everywhere. I hate to tell people they have to come to Michigan to get good stuff, but, you know, we're trying to get it out there the best we can, the quickest. You know, Discipleship Handbook is now a GC resource, we do need more of those things for sure. People really, we don't need to tell them they're okay in their sin. We need to help them out of the hole. And that's an excellent point. So we do have some materials, and I'm not aware of everything out there. Lack of assimilation and discipleship. The point there is simply that you want to make sure that when a person's baptized, they're not done yet. That's why we put together the discipleship handbook. And I want to emphasize, even though I did the other day, for those who weren't here, the handbook is only a handbook is something that's there for a person to use. It doesn't work by itself. It's a tool. And so the discipleship handbook is written for a person who will act as a mentor to a new member. It is not the mentor. The mentor is the person. And so you don't give them a book and say, here, read it. It's an outlined, very well detailed discipleship plan. But when people come in the church, they need to be mentored and guided, and they need to be taught more, and they need to be connected with people in the church, and they need to be taught how certain things work in the church, and they need to be introduced to other families in the church, and all of those things are outlined in the handbook. Now, you may use something else besides the discipleship handbook, but the point is that people need to be assimilated in. And a lot of times the reason that they left is they came in and they didn't know a lot. In fact, I've had a lot of situations, more than I care to mention, where people say, yeah, I was baptized. Nobody told me I was getting baptized in the Adventist church. They did a meeting. Somebody wanted big numbers. And they said, yeah, we're going to get baptized. Okay. And by the way, oh, we just voted you into the Adventist church. Whoa, what? I kind of like to have them know that up front. But some people don't. And so that's another reason that people can leave. No personal experience with Jesus. You can go through a series. You can get information in your head. We've talked about this when it comes to giving Bible studies. You want people to make practical decisions on what they're learning. You can't just have this, okay, yeah, well, I sent to they want to be practicing the truth. And so there's some people that don't have that. They've not connected with Christ. And kind of an obvious reason why it wouldn't keep them in the church, and they'll fall away for that reason. And then personal tragedies, similar, divorce is a personal tragedy. These are other tragedies. A person can lose their child. A person can have a family illness or something. And you don't need any of that. Folks, if you've ever been in a habit of going to church and something changed. When my wife and I moved here to Cedar Lake, I mean, we were in transition. I probably missed 2 prayer meetings in my entire life, and then I missed several months of prayer meetings. And I'm going to tell you that when you start missing things, you forget even what day they're on. It's not in your schedule. If a person has a tragedy and understandably pulls back, it's kind of hard to sometimes get back in, especially if in the tragedy nobody reached out. So anyway, these are the top, they're not all the reasons, but these are the top reasons members leave. And again, notice doctrine is not in there. Not that that isn't the reason. Some stop coming. But you can see that to bring them back doesn't involve intensive Bible studies, which is why this is such a fruitful field for ministry. So keys to successful visitation. I'm going to give you one idea here, and I'm going to talk about things to do in a visit, but this is something I've done now in two of my churches, and you may have done something similar or whatever, but this is just to give you an idea. I'm not giving you a prescription, but I am giving you an idea of something we've done that I thought worked very well. First thing I want to say is I've been in evangelism training now for pretty much since I've been in ministry. And when you try to get the saints to go out on outreach, like door-to-door and literature distribution, well, door-to-door is the hardest. Literature distribution is a little better, but not a lot better. I've preached sermons. I've got the whole congregation going. How many of you? Oh, we're all raising our hands. We're going to meet together this afternoon for outreach, and about 5% come out of all those people that were there. And it just happens. But when we did what I'm about to tell you, I got more involvement than I've ever seen in a church. And I think there are several reasons I'll explain. So I think that this missing member ministry, besides being a fruitful ministry and something that's important, is a great way to start getting the people of the church involved in doing something for somebody besides themselves. So here's what we did. We had, and somebody suggested the idea to me of what they called a cookie exchange. I have to be careful. Every time I tell my wife this, she says, well, now that's not a cookie exchange. Technically, and she gets into the technique. Okay, so technically, I don't know what, but this is what we did. We invited the church members to have them bake their signature cookie. And we made sure it wasn't all chocolate chip. It was, everybody had some different thing. And so, of course, you have people in the church who are bakers and they're all about that, and other people who would never even think to do that. But right there, you have some participation. So here's what we want you to do. We want you to make the cookies, and we had somebody organized to make sure we had so many. I don't know what the number was. We obviously had to start with our list of missing members. How many people are we going to try to visit? How many cookies does that equate to? Okay. Somebody got all the paper plates. And what we did is we used these, we just got paper plates with a pretty design. Okay. So I'm saying that it's not expensive, but it looks nice. Paper plate. We did an assembly line thing. We did a Sabbath afternoon after church. We got together. The cookies were all baked and all that was done. We had assembly line. We had our students. Elementary students, and some older, but usually, you know, they get older, they're not as interested, like the little ones in glitter glue. Glitter, oh man. We had a little design of what we wanted, a little bookmark or some kind of We Missed You card. They made cards, and they had the glitter glue and the gel stuff and all the fun stuff, and so the kids would make the cards. We had some that the elementary school made during the week, and they would just package things together. I think that was two different occasions I'm blending. So we have the kids making stuff. We have the plates, and we had some nice cellophane. So it looked a little decorative with a ribbon, and put the cookies on the plate. So we'd have an assembly line and arrange so many cookies on the plate of different varieties, put the cellophane on there, put the nice little ribbon, put the nice little card on there, the We Miss You card with whatever greeting. And then underneath the plate, so it didn't get all greased up by the cookies and stuff, we had a sharing book, like the sharing book of the year, and maybe a Bible study offer invitation. Okay? And we had everybody work to make those things up. And then that afternoon, we had somebody had made up maps and assigned visits, and we had everybody, that wasn't everybody, some people still wouldn't go out on the visits, but we got as many people as we could. And you know, they go out in teams, and you're driving out, it's not going like not walking down a street, because you're going to visit members. And so we had, you know, gave them their assignment, and they got in their car, and they take their kids or somebody else's kids. I'm just telling you, we have more people involved in this than we've had. And they went out and they made, you know, everybody made a handful of visits. And, you know, that took some coordination to get them, you know, so you're not zipping here. And depends on your church. If you go, you know, some churches have your members are spread all over the place. And you'd be, if you don't map it right, you know, you're 2 hours trying to make all your two visits or something. So we tried to group them, and the members just went out and took those plates. And the essence of what they did is, hey, we're from the Cedar Lake Seventh-day Adventist Church, and we've missed you. A lot of the members didn't know who they were visiting. They'd never met them before. We wanted to bring you this gift. We've missed you at church, and we just wanted to invite you back. Basically that. And I'll get a little more detail, but we're not talking about some invasive visit here. We're talking about something that in evangelism, we often call it a pop visit. Okay, let me make this clear. When I do missing member visits, when I work with my churches who do missing member visits, we're not calling ahead. Some members are like, oh, we should call ahead and arrange it. You're going to get very few that are going to say yes to that, especially if they're missing members. If they stop coming because of some other reason, you're going to call up and they're going to like, no, thanks. Am I still on your books? It's just like the Bible study offer things we talked about the other day. Well, why don't you guys put on Bible study offer that we're going to come to your house? Because then they wouldn't sign up. And I want at least one opportunity with them face to face. And so it is with the missing members. Now I'm going to go, and I'm telling you, we didn't have anybody get mad about this. I've done it now in two churches, twice in one church, once in another church, and nobody ever got angry with it. Not one person said, oh, how dare you come by here? And I mean, we even had people say, well, you know, it probably shouldn't be on your church books. But even then they were nice about it. I mean, what are you going to do? Somebody's bringing you cookies. Huh? I don't know if you don't want to. I've had some people say, well, what cookies, you know, well, you know, we don't want to misrepresent. And, you know, they know, look, they know what we're about. But anyway, you want to do zucchini bread? Go ahead. Banana bread, whole wheat bread, you know, a gift. You're taking a gift. So you can modify this. But we went out and took these cookies and very short visit. And we had people come back to church the next Sabbath because somebody went by and visited. If they're not home, you know, you don't want to leave the cookies because you can't leave stuff in the mailbox and whatever else. If they're not home, we missed them. And that made for the next two things. It made for the next cookie exchange, and some members had more cookies to take home with them. One thing I tell you, I can tell you I appreciated working as an academy pastor. I don't want that stuff in my house. You know how long it takes my wife and I to eat? Now, I have a teenage daughter, but she's always over here at the academy. You know how long it takes us to eat? But I can't eat that many cookies. I can, I'm telling you. But I don't want to eat them. So we just send them over to the girls' dorm, right, with my daughter. They're gone. Yes?
How many visits would you make like that?
Yes. The same person? But you're asking about, see, let's say if we did this thing and we went out and I found somebody home and I made that. That'd be my first connected visit, okay? My intention, we're going to get to that. My intention, listen, it's a mistake if you're just going to make one visit and that's done, like this is the one-time thing. This is an initial contact to get them back. And so you want to have follow-through. So this is what we did as we planned these cookie exchange visits. Now here's some things that you want to know when you go and visit. My plan on the visit is I'm not calling ahead, and if I'm not calling ahead, I'm not planning on coming in and taking up their time. If they invite me in, I'm glad to go in, okay? But my idea is it's a pop visit. I'm going to go there. I'm going to meet him at the porch. I'm going to give him the gift. I'm going to invite him back. May have a little chat there. And they may say, well, why don't you come in and whatever. And then you have a little more dialogue when you do that. Some things to keep in mind. And I think this is key. Before you do this cookie exchange, plan a Sabbath before or a prayer meeting or something where it's like tonight, we're going to pray about this upcoming weekend when we're going out to visit our missing members. And we just want to really, I mean, besides your personal prayer and everything, get a collective. The church comes together and prays about, look, we're going to, Lord, you need to soften these people's hearts and prepare them for the visit and help us to know what to say. And just bathe that thing in prayer as you're getting ready to go out. That's the first step. Organize a prayer effort beforehand. Number two, remember your initial goal is to get acquainted and invite them back. You're not going to lecture them, to tell them, really, you're not on the best path right now, or any of that's not. This is just, we're going to show up and tell them we miss them. You're inviting them back. You'll see under there a sample question in the course of that brief visit conversation is, hey, have you ever thought about coming back to church? Like, we've missed you. We wanted to bring this gift by. Have you ever thought about coming back? Okay, it's not an invasive question. It's not they're not going to get mad at you for asking that question. And it will really touch a lot of people. And it may open up an opportunity. Let me say this. If a person hasn't been to the church in a while, especially if there's a conflict issue, then a lot of the time they need to vent. And you might be the first opportunity in 10 years. Be aware of that. It's not, and they're not, and I've had people and they're just, oh, they start out really angry and it just takes them a little bit and then they're nice and then they're like, I'm sorry, I just needed to get that off, you know, whatever. But be prepared for it and know that it's not you. They haven't had anybody visit. They've had this thing. They've been carrying this thing I'm not saying that happens every visit. I'm saying you've got to be aware that that could happen on a visit. And so you're wanting to let them know you want to come back, that you want them back to the church. And then that may open up. But if you, especially if you ask the question, have you ever thought about coming back? Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. How much time do you have? Why don't you come on in? I mean, you know, it's going to be different stuff like that. But that may be the opportunity, and they need that opportunity. And let me tell you right now, if it takes somebody bawling me out and whatever else to get them back to church, that's a small price to pay. The Lord paid a lot greater price than that, right? For my soul, let alone everyone else. Go to the top of the next page. This one is very key in these situations, especially show sympathy, not sides. When you're talking to somebody and they're not going to church because something happened, they've got a version of that story. Their version may be accurate, it may be inaccurate, it may be a little bit of both. And so they may say, here's why I'm not going to that church. Because that Elder Dave, the what he did to me, Elder Dave may not even be at the church. Dave may have passed away 4 years ago. Dave may have moved to Florida whenever. You understand what I'm saying? Or he may still be there. And he may not have done half the things that this person says. But they're going to say, well, that... And they may tell you there's some stories. And they may, like I said, they may be true. But here's the thing. You don't know, in most cases, you don't know when you weren't there. Well, in any case, because if you do know, and then in that cookie exchange, you get that name, you make clear, I don't think I'm the one to go on this visit. You need to do, you don't want to be the one to go if you were in the midst of some controversy. Let somebody else go on that. So you're not going to know the situation. And because you don't, the worst thing you could do is take sides. You know what? Elder Dave should have never done that. Well, you know what? You don't know that Elder Dave did do that. Just because that person says Elder Dave did that. Or, the almost worst thing is to say, Elder Dave would never do anything like that. You're there. And you don't want to take sides. So it was Elder Don Gray who's passed away, but Elder Don Gray had done a lot with missing member ministry. But he had two responses that were a it was pseudo-sympathizing, neutral response, and they're listed here. The one was, I'm sorry to hear that. When you think about it, it's a beautiful response. They're telling you the story, you say, I'm sorry to hear that. You know what's beautiful about it? I did not take anybody's side. And I was able to show you that I sympathize with you, but I can't take sides in this situation. And sometimes, like I said, if people, they just need to know that you care. Or, that's too bad. And maybe, if you're hearing the story, kind of that back and forth, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, that's too bad. That's really too bad. No, I'm sorry about that. You know, but the person is, and you'll use this to a lot of success in many situations. It's a very wise way of dealing with a what could be a very disastrous situation. Now, if you find yourself in that context where you are talking about why they're not coming back and that kind of thing, you've asked them, have you ever thought of coming back to church? If you're into, this doesn't happen in every visit. Like I said, there are a lot of visits. We went, cookies at the door, and oh, thank you very much. Chat a little bit. Well, listen, we'd love to see you back at church this next Sabbath. We have thus and so going on or what, and then you're gone. But if you're in that situation where you do get into more of a dialogue, either there at the porch or inside the house, an important question you could ask is, and in a polite way, something like, do you mind if I ask you a personal question? Do you still believe in the Adventist message? That, again, will probably open up some dialogue. And in some cases, they may say, you know what? I don't know. I've wrestled with it, and that's a perfect opportunity. What? Amen. You guys are on it. Hey, listen, I'd love to study the Bible with you. I'd love to go over those things if you'd like to. I mean, I don't want to push myself in it, but if it's something you'd like to do, I'd more than certainly. But that, again, this is the get acquainted visit, and you're trying to find out a little bit about why they are where they are. That will help you minister better. It's hard to minister to a situation you don't understand because every situation is unique. So that's a helpful question to be able to ask in the midst. And then something else that you may say, and this may sound a little contradictory, it's not. You're not taking sides, but at the same time, notice the letter D. You could say something like, as a church member myself, I'd like to apologize to you for anything I or any other member has done to discourage or hurt you in any way. Please forgive us. Okay? You're not saying we did. You're just saying if there's anything, you're putting yourself in a humble position. And I love this statement from, this is found in the Review and Herald of December 16, 1884. It says, if there have been difficulties, brethren and sisters, if envy, malice, bitterness, evil surmisings have existed, confess these sins not in a general way, but go to your brethren and sisters personally. Be definite. If you have committed what? One wrong, and they 20 confess that one as though you were the chief offender. And so sometimes it's not about, well, but wait a minute, they left and I know a little bit. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If I've done anything wrong, will you please forgive me? I'm sorry. If we've done anything wrong, would you please forgive us? I'm going to tell you that goes a long way with somebody. They find it, they're going to find a hard time. They may act real mad during that whole visit, but they're going to have a hard time staying mad after that. I'm just telling you. You brought him a gift. You asked for forgiveness. I mean, the Spirit of God's going to work on that. That's the beauty of soul winning is, you know, sometimes it's like, I can't do everything, but guess what? The Holy Spirit is omniscient. He's eternal and he can be everywhere at once. And when I'm gone, he's still there. Amen. See? So, you know, I'm gone, but the Holy Spirit is going to keep working and he's going to use, especially if you go and you let the Spirit use you to speak those kind words, he's going to keep bringing those to their mind. The next step, encourage trust in God's love and forgiveness, especially now dealing with those situations where if a person has stopped coming because they're feeling like they fell back into some, where they did fall back into some old habit or something like that. I remember a guy who was coming to, he was not a member yet. He'd come to a couple of evangelistic meetings. He'd been coming to my church in Coldwater, and he stopped coming because he fell back into smoking. Now, I didn't tell him right away. The guy, sometimes they do things like this. He bought himself a big, because cigarettes are expensive, so he got himself a big box of tobacco and rolled his own cigarettes. First step, if you want to quit smoking, don't have a big box of tobacco and rolling paper in your house. I didn't tell him that. We didn't lecture that, okay? You know, some people just don't put two and two together. They just don't know why they're struggling. It's like, I can't be. So he stopped coming to church because he had this habit. And I remember visiting him with one of the elders, and I said, look, brother, you can't. How do you think that pulling away from the only atmosphere that can give you spiritual strength, how do you think that's going to help you overcome the habit? Well, I'm smoking. I'm not supposed to be. Look, if you're smoking and you got struggles with it, the place you got to be is church. You got to keep coming around, be surrounded with a community of people who can pray for you and encourage you and that kind of thing. And you want to be able to tell a person, sometimes they feel like, and this is what the devil does, that sin disqualifies you for church attendance. No, if there's anything that qualifies you for church attendance, it's sin. Should have had more amens on that one. Amen. So encouraged in that visit, you can encourage their trust in God. Look, God still loves you. He is drawing you to himself. You know, the reason you know that this habit is wrong, if it wasn't for the Spirit of God, the habit wouldn't bother you. Are you aware of that? Bad habits would not bother you if it weren't for the Spirit of God. If they're bothering you, that tells you God loves you. And he's wooing you and he's drawing you to himself and he's helping you to see that what needs fixed, but then you got to come to the place to get it fixed. You got to come to the Lord and come to the church and come to the, and so you want to encourage them in God's love, trust in God's love and forgiveness. Encourage them to, look, put it before the Lord and confess your sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Walk them through that passage. What does it say? God, if we confess, God's going to be faithful to forgive. What kind of God would he be if he told us to come to him and confess and we did and then he wouldn't forgive us? He wouldn't be faithful at all. He wouldn't be just at all. The faithfulness and the justness of God is that he tells us that he will do this and when we come, he does it. And you've got to have confidence in that. So it's a good opportunity to encourage in those situations. And then finally, assure them that they are missed and invite them back. I've had people tell me, I've told them, and it's awkward. It's awkward. You're in there and they're like, listen, you're missed at church. Well, I'm not missed by everybody. I mean, I've had people in the church, but we visited with them and I had a couple that my associate pastor and I were working with. We visited them and had them come to the church pastor's office. They're not members. And we're encouraging them, you know, have you ever think about being members again? And Well, I said, we'd love you to be, well, not everybody would love us to be members. And, you know, there were things that were said in the community and everything. Yeah, sometimes you get these small communities. And I said, well, I'm the pastor and that's what counts. That was not really real correct, but I still told him that. It was correct from the standpoint. I said, look, I want you back. This is my elder. He wants you back. I've talked to our other elders and we talked all together before this visit. We want you guys back. So, I mean, you just want to communicate that, but they may bring something up that, well, I know so-and-so there. Listen, I don't know about all that. All I can tell you is we're here because we want you back. And more than that, the Lord wants you back. Amen. He wants you back in his fold. So those are some ideas of what to do in the visit. And those little things, they may seem like little things, but they'll make a huge impact. So let me run through this kind of quickly and I'll see what we have. These are going to go kind of quickly though. It's just some quick do's and don'ts in the visit. The do's, be brief. I've touched on that. Get to the point within a few minutes. It's a short visit. That's your goal. That's your focus. Listen to them calmly, kindly, and interestedly. Sometimes when people talk and they're telling, and maybe you know a little bit about the situation, even though you weren't directly involved, you just feel this need to come to the defense of whoever in the church, or maybe it was your husband or wife or something else. Fight that. You just want to listen to them calmly, kindly, let them express themselves. All that stuff can happen later. Invite them to come back to church. It's already been in there, but this is a definite do. You don't want to leave that visit without inviting them back. And then finally, always close your visit with prayer. I will always close with prayer, and I do not ask them if I can pray, if they'd like me to pray. And some people don't do that, and they're not as forward, and I suppose. But I've done this in Bible work, and door-to-door ministry, and whatever else, and I've told my students, guys, if I were you, this is what I'd do. At the end of the survey, say, let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you so much. And that's what we do. And I can't tell you how many times you will watch a person's entire countenance and attitude change after that prayer. It happened time and again. And I tell my students that in class and come back and say, Pastor Howard, you're right. We did that. And we went into prayer just like you said, and their whole attitude changed after the prayer. So sometimes it changes for the worse. But I'm just saying, and when I pray, it's short and it's very positive, like, I could go and I'd meet Tyler or visit with Tyler and I say, well, Tyler, let me pray with you. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you so much for Tyler and this time we've had together. Lord, I just want to pray for your blessing upon him and his family. And Lord, I pray that, you'll just be with him in all that he does or something like that. And I don't want to say, Lord, be with Tyler, help him to see the error of his ways, da, 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 da. Well, maybe with Tyler, but at any rate, you get the idea. I want to leave that positive note, and I want them to see that what happens in that is I'm talking to the Lord, I'm lifting them up, and I'm not putting them down in the prayer. I'm talking like I'm not over them, and that, I think, makes an impact on people. And then some important don'ts. Don't betray confidence. There are people that in that visit may tell you something about what happened in the church they don't want you to repeat, and you can't... You know, there's certain things that you may say how the visit went, but if you know something was said in confidence, man, that's the last thing you want to do is betray that confidence. You're not going to get anywhere with that person. So just if something's told you in confidence, it needs to stay in confidence. You need to respect that. Don't act shocked. Notice it doesn't say don't be shocked. Sometimes people will try to shock you just to look for the reaction. And then they'll say, see, I knew they were judging me. So, you know, you will see some crazy things sometimes. If a person hasn't been in the church in a long time, they can be in all kinds of stuff. And you just want to be very pleasant and it's all good. You know, don't act shocked. You may be shocked. Don't act shocked. Don't defend yourself or the church or anyone else. You're not there. That's not what you're there for. You're not there to defend. You're there to invite them back. Sure, there's more to the story. Sure, there's more things to be dealt with, but not this visit. And then don't argue. You're not there to argue doctrine. You're not there to argue anything else. Okay? I've said the same thing about 50 times now with that. It's a short visit. It's a positive visit. The goal here is to make the initial contact. The what? That means you're going to have other contacts at some point. You can get more of the church involved in this. You can go out. It's a positive experience for the whole church. It will be a positive experience for these individuals. Now, what do you do once you've made this visit? Here's some after the visit things to do. I know a lot of churches that do this kind of thing and then they feel real good about themselves and then they just go back into Laodicean slumber for 6 months and then they come up with another outreach.
That's not our goal here. Okay, so again, handout, very bottom of the page, number 6. Consider your visit as an initial visit, not an only visit. Plan to continue interaction with the missing member. Here are some practical suggestions. First, add their names to your interest list. You should have an interest list. You'll note that what we've gone over now, Pastor Cameron talked about the church board and how there were those things that the church board needs to discuss. Those things included department plans, evangelism plans, visiting interest plans. All of those things were there in the church board, and a lot of churches can't even do them because they don't even have that. So when we went into how to do department plans, that's just so you can start doing what you've got to report back at the board. Be doing the work of the church. You need to have somebody coordinating interest. Pastor Jim talked about that. Notice for invitation, not solicitation. Don't put them on the list that you're going to call for money. Hey, yeah, we just visited you last week. We've got this big project and we need some money. You don't want to do that. This is an invitation list. You want their name, the interest list. These are names. So if you're having some event that is a spiritual event, you can invite them to, a social event, you can invite them to, that they can be a part of it. You want to be able to invite them. So you want them on that interest list. You want to stay in touch. You would do well to assign individuals, perhaps the individuals, likely the individual that made that visit. Just have them, you can drop a card, you can make a call, you can give them a text. It doesn't have to be very invasive. It doesn't have to be very complicated, but just maintain contact. Use upcoming events as an excuse for a return visit. If your church has, let's say you're planning a big creation seminar, great. I'm going to go by with a flyer to that person I visited last time and say, hey, I just thought I'd bring this by. I think you might be interested in this. Just any excuse you can have to go back. And it may take a few visits before they begin to warm up, or texts and visits and a combination of things, and you'll start to see a change. And some of them are going to pull themselves away, but some of them really want to come back. And you'll notice that. And the more you're making that contact, you'll see that. Mom, how long were you out of the church before you got contacted? How long were we gone? 12 years out. Never, had you ever thought about coming back? So, I mean, that's just a case in point. And in my family, we have a big family. You'd have the whole bunch coming to praise God for His mercy. But I'm just saying, there are people out there now on your books that are like that, in that same place. Okay, remove obstacles to attendance. If they share some reason that they are not coming, that you can address. Now, if it's like, you know, well, Brother Rick Stevenson, that's why I'm not going, well, let's get him out of there. No, I'm not talking about that. But if there is something that you can address that is a barrier to their coming, and you're like, well, why do we even do things that way? I'll give you, for instance, at prayer meeting, we were torn. We had some people at prayer meeting that were like, for prayer meeting, we need to break up into small groups and pray. And I had some people wanting to return, and they just felt uncomfortable, so they would not come for that. Is that something we can we just pray as a group? Is that okay? Oh no, we had some members who are like, no, we've got to pray. If you can remove a barrier to get somebody back, I mean, anyway, to me, that's a barrier that could have been addressed. And then finally, stop by occasionally with a gift. So that's kind of, so why don't you just finish up on that? Let me get you a microphone, Jim. Listen, Cameron doesn't have anything he needs to sympathize about.
I don't know how I even end this. So I was just mentioning that there really is something to the fact that some of the missing members still give money. And I'm not going to go into the long story you thought I was going to mention. But truthfully, look at your books, ask your treasurer if any of those who are missing, give you that list, still give in any amount during the year, and note that, because when you go to visit them, you can actually
thank them
that you still appreciate that they still are contributing to the church, because a lot of them still, and it also indicates to you somebody who is a very fertile missing member, because they still have a heart for them to message.
Okay, well, that wasn't as good as the story that you were going to tell, but I know the couple, and I'll say this, that I visited this couple when I was pastor of that church. My brother pastored the church after me, ironically. And they didn't come back when I visited. But when Jim went and visited this couple, we had known them in the past. They'd known our parents. So he had some old family photos that he took. Anyway, it was just that one visit, right? So I'd made a visit. And then years later, he made this visit. And the husband and wife came back to the church. He ended up becoming an elder in the church. He's passed away a couple years ago now. But they came back in and just were on top of it. Bible studying and sharing and witnessing and everything. And just, we'd been missing out on that for all those years just for lack of making the visit. So I'm just, this is one of the best ministries you can do, bar none, in your church. Yes. Yes, they were. Okay, and then we're going to finish up. Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, it's a small price to pay make sure though, incidentally, when you do that kind of thing, that you do it with the other leaders. You don't just kind of lone ranger it, or you can start a whole nother, you get more people who are going to leave. You're going to have to visit to come back. So, all right, everyone, listen, tomorrow morning at 10:45, it's an open Q&A where your questions about anything we talked about this week, soul winning, evangelism, whatever, we're going to work on that. And then, let's finish with prayer. Father in heaven, Father, we just do thank you so much that you've given us the privilege to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. Lord, help us to be faithful to our calling and representative. Lord, there are your children that your heart longs for, that we know that they're within our circle of influence, Lord. And I have to confess, in general as a church, we've just not been as faithful as we should be. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to be more intentional to reach these lost sheep. And give us success, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.